Hi, this is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and welcome to Backseat Quickies, episode 55, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow, 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 chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow, 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 wow.
Hi, this is Scott.
I'm Sam.
And this is Backseat Quickies, and Sam needs to speak up a little, please.
Hi! Better?
Yes, that's better. And we saw Spider-Man, the amazing kind, in which some kid gets bitten by a funky spider, giving him superpowers, and then his uncle gets dead, and then, you know, he goes on to realize that with power comes responsibility, and then he fights a lizard guy in an unrelated matter, and he has really awkward romantic situations with a cute blonde girl. That's the plot. Really, it's the Spider-Man origin. What else can I say?
Spider-meh.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. There's a lot of hate for this movie, and there's a lot of love for it, and I think we're both just kind of mixed on it. Like, you want to start with the acting, Sam?
Mostly terrible. Why? Because they couldn't do anything with the script. The dialogue was dreadful. So how do you make dreadful dialogue interesting? You can't.
You mostly either look awkward or you look cute. I gotta say, though, point Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, because she's a two-note character. Two whole notes. Most people are just one. I'm sorry, I don't like hipster Parker. The whole point of Spider-Man is that he's an outsider, and that's lame for him. Except now he's a hipster, which means he's an outsider. And he chooses to be because being disaffected and angsty is what's cool, I guess. Which kind of subverts that point.
Andrew Garfield, you're cute. You are dreadful.
Yeah, and again, I gotta give the actors credit for doing what they could with the script, but the lizard is just a mess. His motivations are all over the place. Like, it's like, I must stop the evil corporation from using my serum to turn everyone into lizards, except then I'm gonna turn everyone into lizards later.
Cause, you know, that makes sense.
And there's a bit in the middle where I'm kind of Jekyll and Hyde, but then I'm just a lizard dude, and I want everyone to be lizards.
And cause, you know, Oscorp there has some tight security, cause, you know, lizard serum. Clearly, everybody should just have access to that.
Yeah. Oscorp security's messed up. One guy gets dragged out at the door, Peter Parker gets to walk around with impunity for hours. What the fuck, Oscorp?
That didn't make much sense. To be honest, like, the amount of plot holes in this movie are just epic. You kind of sit there and you're going, well, wait, what? My favorite one definitely was poor Gwen Stacy's character who, wow, it takes forever to make this lizard serum, but a cure takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, Aunt May just disappears for about an hour, and Dennis Leary is vaguely angry and kind of the same person he was on Third Watch. Rescue me.
You know, again, it's not the fault of the actors that everything's so dreadful, but it's hard to feel sympathetic for them when they're also not showing that they're trying. That's the hard part. A lot of the characters, particularly Mr. Garfield, really didn't show that he was trying in the slightest, and that really bothered me because part of what makes Peter Parker who he is that, yes, he's an outsider, but he's a geeky outsider. He's a dork. He's supposed to be kind of charming. I was not charmed at all by this hipster Parker. I kept thinking mocha lattes and bad poetry. I shouldn't be thinking that about cutesy Peter Parker, who goes around and says, hey, I'm the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth noting that there were a lot of reshoots and rewrites fairly close to the wire on this movie, which might be why there's a bit of a mess. I'd be interested in seeing some of the cut content. But the story, my God. Okay, first you have the hurdle that, yes, they're doing the origin story again. But even if you're on board for that, it takes an hour into a Spider-Man movie for anything Spider-Man-y to happen. Like, a whole hour. I was counting.
Well, it didn't help that they focused way too much on the high school aspects. Nobody needs an hour of high school. before we get to the Spider-Man bits, say what you will about the Sam Raimi films, at least it got it together within the first half an hour.
Again, Lizard's plan, still dumb. Uncle Ben, that was a really inspirational voicemail. I'm going to try to leave more inspirational voicemails. Most people know when they get me on voicemail, it's like, hey, it's me. Call me back. I'm going to try and give you words of wisdom now.
I got to admit, actually, Martin Sheen was the best part of the whole movie outside of Stanley's cameo there, which we'll get to in a second. But Uncle Ben was by far the most... I don't know, he was adorable. Like, Martin Sheen was just so cute, and Sally Field was really sweet as Aunt May. It's just a shame that they weren't given the sort of caliber that they needed to be influential to Peter Parker. That point was a little bit depressing. It also doesn't help that Uncle Ben's inspiration comes so late. It's like Spider-Man wakes up and goes, oh, I guess I should be good to Uncle Ben's wishes.
Two more bad things before I do mention things I liked about this movie. The costume. It looks like it's made out of a basketball. What is with these over-textured superhero uniforms? I don't get it. Two, the score. Heavy-handed. I get that it's a sad moment. You don't have to turn up the sad piano music to remind me of this.
Yeah. Stan Lee! He was awesome!
Yeah, I know I say this about every other time we talk about a Marvel movie, but this is the best Stan Lee. Like, when you see it, it's genius.
Gotta love the fact that he plays a librarian with headphones, listening to classical music, and all you see in the background is Spider-Man getting whipped against the screen. It was so cute.
That was perfect shot composition, by the way. That whole bit with Stan Lee was great. And that leads us to action, which I liked. I liked the way he moved. I like the flipping around mid-combat and the using the webs really well.
I agree with Scott. The action was definitely one of the better parts of this film because everything just flowed really nicely. I'll give Andrew Garfield one little tidbit of credit. When he was being snarky, it was kind of adorable, and it actually did kind of work.
It was the Spider-Man quipping that we'd been missing.
Which is sad because you kind of wish he did more of it.
Well, he did plenty of it out of costume. That's another thing about Garfield. Peter Parker and Spider-Man aren't different personas. They're kind of the same guy, just with a mask. Except half the movie, Spider-Man is not wearing his mask when he's in costume, because Lord knows we need to see his face while he's acting.
You know that bit about the cranes? That was entertaining. Especially when the guy, well, leading up, Spider-Man saves a young boy. And his dad is really appreciative. If you watch Criminal Minds, you have a notion that that man is a serial killer on that show. When I was sitting there with my girlfriend, I pointed out, it's like, hey, Chrissy, look, it's George Boyette. He's going to kill the child. He's going to kill everybody. And then he didn't. So I realized I was watching the wrong program. I kind of wish I'd been watching Criminal Minds, mind you, which is probably not a good thing.
Yeah. That said, the bit with the cranes, every Spider-Man movie has had a, oh yeah, we're New York, the blue-collar people love the Spider-Man, hoorah, USA. This was actually the least stupid of those. Just a bunch of union guys lining up the cranes down one street. I don't know how much construction goes on in New York that would allow you to have about 12 cranes all fairly close together to give one guy an alley to swing on, but it was cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was pretty nifty. I'm sorry, I couldn't get over serial killer Foyette. But for the most part, that scene was really nicely shot, and it was definitely a big hurrah, and I really liked it. It didn't make much sense, but I was kind of okay with it not making much sense. Yeah, this movie has a lot of problems.
So yeah, the other thing I guess is instead of putting the post-credits teaser scene at the end of the credits, they put it in the middle. And okay, the point of the post-credits teaser scene is that you tease something that people might know. Not just be cryptic as f***. Just saying. Okay, but final thoughts, Sam. This is pretty average movie. There's some ups and some downs, and a lot of people are cutting it slack because it'll get better in the sequel, and I'm like, no. You have to make a standalone product, and if things tie into the sequel well, great.
I'm going to just come out and say it. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. It did so much wrong for me. The only right thing was Uncle Ben, Emma Stone being absolutely adorable, and that was about it. I would rather watch the Sam Raimi movies over again, because at least those were entertaining, and that's what this movie lacked. Actual entertainment.
Catch you next time. Batman.
Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers. Swoon.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. To offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.